Now listen, you hear that sound? Listen to this. So 2 days ago, Sampanero fixed me up and said, look, I've got someone beating a drum in my ear. Here's the way it sounded every time I would move. That's the way it sounded in my head for about 3 months. So I go up there and Dr. Mickey, she looks down in there and she said, whoa. I said, if you look close, Doc, I said, about 25, 30 years ago, a moth flew in my ear. I said, he went as far as he could, ran up against my eardrum, got to gnawing on that. I said, then he died a slow death. I said, but you want to hear something when a moth is fluttering his wings and his teeth are embedded in your eardrum. That was some racket. I said, Doc, as far as I know, he never came out of there. I said, he's still there. So she looked and she said, well, he might be because there's a lot of stuff done collected up in there. So I had the first ear reaming I've had in 68 years on the earth. Let me tell you something. I recommend everybody, beginning tomorrow, check with old Dr. Mickey down here to Glenwood Mall, and she'll flush out your ears, and you'll be able to hear a lot better. I'm just saying. But that was a rough deal. Stick something about half as big as a straw, go within a half inch of your eardrum, turn the water on high velocity, and that water is hitting your eardrum. That's what it sounds, or worse than that. So I'm still alive. I'm direct from New Orleans, Louisiana. Last night, where we spoke to some people, we're trying to get a godly man into the Congress of the United States because idolatry is front and center, and about half, possibly a little more, of the United States of America are have now conformed to what is regarded as orthodox liberal opinion instead of the Word of God. See, we've jumped on board and we, half of us, have embraced orthodox liberal opinion in matters of sexuality. The Bible says, one woman, one man, keep your sex right there, no diseases, it's a safe way to go. Procreate, everybody's happy. What orthodox liberal opinion says is we, and no one has the right to tell us any differently, we have the right to have unbridled, unrestrained sexual relations with anything and anybody at all times of our choosing. That's political correctness. I'm giving you Webster's Dictionary, and I'm going to remind everybody of it every time I see them. You say, is your lesson about this? No. I'm just giving you a little intro. Especially orthodox liberal opinion in matters of sexuality, race, they come up with the three-race theory. The Bible says there's one race, the human race. And gender, male and female, you know, a fellow like me, you said, oh, you can't go in the kitchen and start cooking, you know, your manhood will leave. It's a terrible thing for a woman to be in there washing dishes and cooking meals. Usually, political correctness, according to the dictionary, is used disparagingly to connote dogmatism. They won't budge. Excessive sensitivity to minority causes. So you look up political correctness in your dictionary, that's the definition for it, and then you turn immediately to the word idolatry, and you're going to find out that political correctness is in fact idolatry on steroids. That's what political correctness is. You say, what happened to America? We have turned into an idolatrous nation. Idolatry is a fake notion or idea. That's what political correctness is. It's just an idea. It's our opinion. on everything having to do with sex, race, government. It's a fake notion. It's a fake idea. It causes errors in thinking or reasoning. Our founding fathers warned us repeatedly. It is religion and morality that freedom will securely stand. You lose your religion, and they all were Christians. You lose your religion, you lose your morality. We're at the second phase. We've lost our religion for the most part. My recommendation would be for all the people who claim Jesus, get rid of their signs. Get rid of all signage. Remove them. Put them in a big pile and burn them. And we all agree on what I just wrote on that board right there. There's an era coming down out of the cosmos. God becomes flesh 2014 years ago. That's a fact. Historically, archaeologically, it is a fact. We're counting time by Jesus. Why? Because he took away the sins of the world by being nailed to a cross. He voluntarily let the human race do that to him. After he did that, there's the removal of all your sins, and every last one of you have a lot of them, and everybody worldwide has them. Don't kid yourself. 3 days later, after they buried him because they killed him, he solved your second problem, which is physical death. It's the faith. It's where the faith is rooted. I started over there in Matthew 24 and went to Jude 1. Jesus said, can you abandon the faith? In the time frame between when Jesus was here, he died, was buried, raised from the dead, spent 40 days, he said, what about it? Touch me and see. I'm not a ghost. I have flesh and bone. I was dead. Now I'm alive. Y'all want in on that action or what? I'm paraphrasing. They all said, we want in on the action. He said, you go forward and you tell them what I just wrote on the board. You tell them. He that believes and is baptized to be saved. That's what we do. The ones that say, Phil, I believe it. I said, all right, let's go to the creek. Check every conversion story. That's what they heard. That's what they did. If you exchange what I wrote on the board and what the Bible says for something as silly as political correctness, you're going to lose your country. Bibles and guns is the reason the United States is here. They had to have both to run King George back to England. You had to have Bibles and guns. God help us. Give me some of those at ammo. God did help them. That's why they all put in the Constitution of the United States and everything they said. That's why they said, never give up your guns or your Bibles. That's how you got here. Short history lesson, the last 80 years when the Nazis came, no Jesus. You say, what did it take to do Adolf Hitler in? It took Bibles and it took guns. Right? Did we have to have both? Just look at it logically. The fear of God and firepower. We stopped him. We stopped them. Then the Shintoists, about the same time frame. You say, why would a place the size of Louisiana decide they were going to crush the United States of America beginning at Pearl Harbor? Why would you do that? Are you nuts? Like one of their generals said after they were saying, boy, did we put a strapping on them. We sunk ships, knocked out planes. Can you believe what we did to the United States of America? So one of their generals said, I'm afraid all we've done is awaken a sleeping giant. And at the end of the day, they paid a terrible price for their brutality. That's two. Three, the communists came, same MO, guns and Bibles. Now we're dealing with a bunch that have the same MO as the other three. We want to dominate the world. And we will kill anybody that gets in our way. They are famous for murder. And there is no Jesus. Not one. Just like the other three. So here we are. My fear is that the first part of that equation is almost lost. We're going to see how many godly people we have left, ladies and gentlemen. If you're godly, I can guarantee you one thing, one way to prove it, you better register to vote. It is a republic that you live in. You better get your tail down there, and you better vote godly. And when you see all of these platforms that are saying there's no problem with removing human fetuses from their mothers, a woman has the right to kill her own fetus. The Bible would say, no, that's murder. But the U.S. government says, no, no, it's legal. Guess whose word they took? They took the government's word. The government says we can kill them. And we remind them, but God said you shouldn't do that. When it comes to immorality of all kinds, God says, one woman, one man, keep your sex right there. It's safe for your physical health, and it's safe for your eternal health. You better do that. It's the safe way to go. But they are now legislating immorality, perversion. Whose word are you going to take? You will rebel from this and say, I'm not going with that anymore. I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to listen to the United States government in matters of sex. You're going to do so at your own peril. So we love them and we go forth and we try to tell them, and we're hated because of it. But you know what? I'm happy. Y'all happy? You say, are you sad? I'm happy. Happy, happy, happy. That's what I am. Therefore, we are discussing the faith. You can abandon it. Matthew 24. Read it all. Right when Jesus looked at the temple, he said, see that temple? It's all going to come down. Every stone, not one be left on top of the other. And they said, do what? It took 46 years to build a thing, and it's going to do what? He said, all come down. You say, what was God saying there in flesh, Jesus? He was saying that this he's the author and perfecter of the faith. It's rooted in who he was, what he did. The faith. It's a law. But it's not a law of works. You say, what governed humanity all the way to this event happened? Everybody out there was under a law of works. You say, what about all the people who were not Jews? He wrote the law that he gave the Jews, written in stone, wrote it in their heart. Did all Gentiles know what lying was, what stealing was, and whose woman was whose? Every last one of them. You said, did they violate that code? Yes, they did. So you have the law of works. And you have the law of faith. I'm talking about the faith. There's a law. You say, what does the law say? The law of works. It's a code of regulations. It dispenses justice. But there is no provision for violations. You say, you mean all those people, the remnant that God looked down and say, I'm going to save you by your faith in me and what I'm going to do way in the future, like Abraham. You believe me, Abraham? He said, I believe you, Lord. He said, one day, I'm going to count you as saved now, but one day you'll see how this works out. Abraham really didn't know how it was going to work out. We're a long time from Jesus, a couple of thousand years. You're like, so they all waited, the remnant, the ones who lived by faith under the Old Testament. But they all were under a system of works, even before it was codified and given to the Jews. So God writes it down, gives it to the Jews, and he says, okay, keep it or die. Now, you're going to kill animals and the blood's going to flow, but it's never going to take away one of your sins. You have to be perfect under this. It's 2,000 years since God sent Jesus to die, be buried, and raised from the dead. You have to ask yourself a question today. What law are you under? The law of works? There's no provision there for sin. You say, well, I'm outside of Jesus. You're under a system of works. You say, what are all the Muslims running around? They're under the Sharia code. You say, where'd they get most of that code from? The Old Testament. You say, is it a code of works? All the way down to, I cannot eat pork. That's the least of their problems. I wonder if the Sharia code says do not murder. Well, of course it does. Duh. You reckon they're violating their own code? You say, what's it all come down to? They're under a system of works, even food laws. You say, where'd they get that from? The Bible. You say, do they believe the first two human beings were Adam and Eve? Sure. Do they believe in Abraham? They say he's their father, the father of their faith. You're like, what in the world? But they reject Jesus. I studied with a Jewish guy, and I was using the Old Testament because he said the New Testament. Nah. So I was going back and forth from the Old Testament, moving him forward. And finally, after about three or four studies, he said, you know what? I'm inches away. I said, actually, you're one man away. Jesus of Galilee. He was like, so he's close. You're going to need a King James Version or a New American Standard because the NIV doesn't do well with this, but it's Romans 3, verse 27. The law of faith is a code of regulations. It does dispense justice. Whew. And there's provision for violations. You're like, what is the provision? The blood of God, that's the provision. When Jesus looked at the temple, he said, it's all coming down. You say, what was he saying? The system whereby you had to be perfect, the system that did not have a provision built into it to remove sin, I'm bringing it all down. It's all coming down. Judaism, temple worship, from now on, it won't be in a structure that y'all are so proud of. I will live in my people, and they will be my temple. How could human beings have dreamed that up? You don't dream up a story like that. So he brought it all down. Judaism, you say, I wonder why they never rebuilt it. It's kind of like, how do you rebuild the United States of America and bring it back to its once glory, land of glory, without God? For the most part, the nation of Israel to this day still rejects Jesus of Galilee. You said, did the law of works ever come back in there with the temple? They're still under the same system of works they've been under. All the way to Jesus, he got them out from under it. But no, they said no to him. Therefore, the ones of you who have put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, it's by grace you saved through faith, and you repented of your sins, which were many, and you died to sin, Romans 6 says, and you were buried in water, and you came forth. God allowed that to be your disconnect with Adam. And you no longer were there. You were dead and buried. He sees your spirit. The misdeeds of the body can no longer be counted against you. You say, why? Because you died to it through your faith and what I wrote on the board. You're like, that was a wonderful thing God allowed me to participate in. Therefore, you can count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful thing that's happened to us. Our nation turned from it. You can blow it. I ended up with 2 Corinthians 13:5. I just picked out about 17 or 18 texts that spoke of the faith. The reason I did that is we don't hear too much about it. I'm going to start, and watch this, in Galatians 3, and we'll add on to it as we go. I want you to watch this. Look at Galatians 3:22. He is speaking of the faith. You say, what was this bunch's problem at Galatia? You know what they had decided to do? To say, okay, we'll take the gospel of Jesus plus circumcision. We're going to keep some of that law of works. We're going to bring it over into Christianity. He said, whoa now, you don't want to do that. You take any part of that law of works and bring it under grace, you're going to have to keep all of it. Don't bring any kind of legalistic thing before me, God would settle them. So then he goes on to explain why. Look at Galatians 3, verse 22. The scripture, well, start back up from that in 21b. If a law had been given that could impart life, law of Moses, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law of works, law of Moses. But, you say, what happened after they got the code? Live by it, keep it or die. Watch. But the scripture declares that the whole, look, how many now? The scripture declares that the, how many? The whole world. That'd be anybody outside Jesus. You say, all of them together. They're under a system, every one of them. You say the Buddhist system of works, the Shintoist, the Japanese system of works. You say the Muslim system of works. All you have to do is be perfect. You say, well, what if they never heard of a Bible, never read about Jesus? They make a mistake, they die. Just like you. You made a mistake when you got old enough to know better. Right? You say, what kind of mistake did I make? The kind of mistake everybody else makes. You told a little lie. Whoops. You say, what happened? Separating God forever. He demands perfection. You're under a system of works. You're outside Jesus. You make a mistake, you're dead forever. You say, one? Just one. All you have to do is be perfect. There's nothing built into that system that will remove that. Along comes Jesus. He said, I'll give you another system if y'all want it. I'm full of grace and truth. I am going to get you out from under a system that you didn't keep, not one of you. You know what the kicker is? Jesus is talking. I am going to keep it. I'm going to do what none of you humans ever did. I'm going to be perfect. Then turn around and let them brutally murder me. And the blood you see coming out of me, that's the provision for your violations, of which I never made a mistake. Jesus, what would you call that? He said, you call that real love. That's how much I love you. I'm going to be sin for you. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus makes us 100% flawlessly perfect, even with all our mistakes. You say, why? Because of your faith. It's called the faith. The scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, here comes Jesus, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. I'm like, at 28, I heard this, and I'm like, count me in. what I need to do, because I never tried to be good. You never tried to be good? I said, not yet. Bill Smith says, can you try to be good? I said, try to be good. No more whoring around. He says, that's not good. That's over. Whoring around's over, Phil. I said, okay, no more whores. Getting drunk, no more of that. I'm like, okay, keep talking. No more smoking dope. No, that's gone. Okay. No more filthy language. That's gone. I figured that. He said, can you try? And I said, I can try. A law of works that I was under. You say, it demands perfection. You know what the law of faith demands? Trust God and try. Can you do that? You say, but I'm going to stumble. I'm going to sin even when I follow Jesus. That's why you die to sin and are buried. That's why God counts you as dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus. You say, he didn't even count that against me. No. Just be honest with him. I blew it. He said, I know that. I saw that. Is your faith still in me? You say, yes, Lord. He said, I didn't count it against you. Get up. Come on. Well, I messed up so big this time. That's it. How long, how many times do we forgive them, Lord? Seven? In America, it's about three, if that much. The guy decked his woman in the elevator. They asked me about it, and they said, what about that? I mean, he put a left hook on his woman and knocked her out inside the elevator. I said, well, if the guy repents, let's forgive him. And get back out there on the ball field, son. Don't be decking your woman. She's your woman. Don't be hitting her. Somebody said, forgive him? I mean, he hit her. I'm like, I've been guilty of it myself. It's been a long time, but you say, were you guilty of that sin? Yeah. Of course, I know none of you have ever done like that, women or men. You know, got a hold of each other. Yeah. Don't be lying to me now. I wonder if there's any frictions within the homes between husband and wives in the United States of America. Are you nuts? So how many times are we going to forgive them? This guy, they didn't even forgive him of one. Me. They didn't want to talk to me anymore, by the way. It was Laura Ingram. Y'all have seen her on Fox News and all this. She said, you know, can you believe, yeah, what's your feeling about that? I said, well, bad move. He said, well, what'd you? I said, it was sinful. I said, but if the guy repents, let's forgive him. If that's not true, why did Jesus say when they asked him, should we forgive him seven times? He said, how about 70 times seven? What was his point? If we use the same standard, all of us as humans do, I'm going to tell y'all something. None of us are going to make it if you don't give me but three mistakes. Right? So get out of my face and say, you messed up again. I said, I did. I hate it, but I'm going to repent. Cut me some slack around here. 70 times 7, how many does that make? I don't know, 4 or 5 at least this month. I'm like, well, we got a ways to go before we get to 70 times 7. Sit down there and give me a little break here. Before this faith came, you say, when was that? When Adam and Eve come out of the womb, they messed up. Track it. Just track it. Start tracking it. You say, well, when did it finally come? I just wrote it on the board. You say, that's when it came. You say, well, what happened? How was it before it came? That's what I'm trying to get you to see, that you ought to be jumping up and down because of the faith, what I just wrote on the board. Jump up and down. You say, there ever going to be another one? No, sir. Going to be any more writings? No, sir. Going to be any more prophecies about the future? No, sir. You say, this is it. See that circle on that last one? This is Jesus leaving. He died, he was buried, raised from the dead, spent 40 days, said, hey, I told y'all, I've just beat death. Y'all in? We in. He said, I'm out of here. Two angels standing there said, the same way you saw that him go, He's coming back. That's why I just made a circle. That's the last event. I would suggest for the ones of you who have not put your faith in that to do so before you leave the building. What's required of me, Phil? Faith in the gospel. You repent, you're baptized. You're added to the kingdom of God. You say, I'll be a member of the faith, the same one you're a member of. You'll be my brother. I'll be your brother. I'll be your sister. If I'm a woman, yep. Before this came, faith came, listen to this. We were held, what? Prisoners by the law of works. Don't kid yourself. Well, I mean, I've done so many good deeds, though. I mean, what about the people who do good deeds? It didn't help you out. It didn't help you out. You say, there had to be provision for my bad deeds. I'm never going to be able to do enough good deeds to override my bad deeds. Something has to be done about my sin. That's what the Muslims can't figure out. They say as long as you have more good deeds than bad deeds in a week, you're good to go. Not hardly. You have to have your sins removed. Muhammad, not big enough. Not big enough. God himself in flesh. Big enough. Big enough to do the job. There's just one way out of here. Jesus of Galilee, take him or leave him. You're not getting out of here without him. You know why? Because anybody who has ever made a mistake on planet Earth, they are prisoners by a law of works. Locked up the whole bunch all the way through up to this. Until faith should be revealed. Whew. So the law, well, what was the point of it? Why put them under a strict code, God, and say, do it or die? Why was it put there? A system of works. It was put in charge to lead us to Christ. Once and for all, one sacrifice, all over. Man, 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 man. You say, what are you happy about? I'm happy that I'm on this side of the cross instead of the other side. Are you with me here? You say, what about all the years before this happened? Whew. I don't know how many it was, but there wasn't many. And look, you say, did any of them were actually saved on the spot before this faith came? No. Which one in the Hebrew writer? I'm looking for it. Let's see. They were all commended for their faith, all these faithful guys in the Old Testament. Yet none of them received what had been promised. Their sins weren't removed. They were just counted as saved. You say, why weren't their sins removed? They're 1,000 years. They're 2,000 years before the blood was shed. God counted them as saved. You say, when did they actually have their sins removed? Abraham, Noah, all of them. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us, he's writing this in the first century. We're 2,000 years forward. Together with us, would they be made perfect? You're like, that blood had to go back and get them. Went all the way back and got them. Saved them all, the ones who said, I believe you, Lord. Noah, you believe me? You're going to build a boat or what? He said, I'm going to build it. They're going to laugh at you because you're building it on dry ground. He said, I'm going to build a boat because I'm going to need one. He said, you're going to need one. Big water coming. They're not going to believe it, but you better believe it. He believed in it, and he was saved because of it. You say, what a story. So you get back to where I was reading from. Now watch. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. Listen, that we might be justified by faith. It's a law. The law of faith. I wrote it on the board. Now that faith has come, We are no longer under the supervision of the law. And you could add of works. You're like, whew. What's amazing is once you get out from under a law of works, is it time? How long do I have? 10 minutes? Perfect. You say, Phil, you don't get drunk anymore. Nope. You sure don't whore around anymore. I got all the sex I need with the little chubby woman. You get my age and you say it doesn't take as much as it used to either. That's right. So you say, all that's been taken care of. Yeah. You say, you don't use filthy language at any time. Yeah, you say, well, good night. You're certainly not going to murder anyone. No. You say, you're not lying to people. No. Speak the truth. You're not stealing from them. No, no, no. Never. You say, well, I left my sunglasses. There was an expensive set of sunglasses. Would you be the kind of person to pick up my sunglasses and keep them for your own? I'm a multimillionaire. You think I want your sunglasses? I mean, come on. You're like, you're not going to get my stuff. No. You're not going to mess with my woman. No. You say, well, that's pretty good law keeping. The law was made for vile lawbreakers, thieving, murdering, raping, pillaging, immoral. That's what it was made for. Once you come to Jesus, I just noticed that you're way better at keeping the law, which you know you're not even under. You're under grace. You say, how is it people under grace do a far better job at not murdering their neighbor, not stealing from their neighbor, not, you say, not being immoral? You say, why do they do so much better under grace? And they end up being really good law keepers. It's because grace motivates you to trust God and try. Look, love kicks in. You say, is love under a law of works? Are you kidding? It's just legalistic righteousness. So what you need to know, if you love God and you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him. If you love God and love your neighbor, you're not only not going to murder him, you're not even going to dislike him. You say, but of all the heinous things, you say, Phil, do you love all these wicked? Yeah. And you say, well, and it doesn't even bother you when they're like, ah. You're like, do you hate them then? No. I'm like, hey, dude, think about it. If you love them, you're not going to steal from them. If you love them, you're not going to lie to them. If you love them, you're happy when they do well in business. I'm not offended because you've done well in business and you're spending money like it's going out of style. You know what? It's your money. You made it. You earned it. God bless you. You want to blow it? Go ahead. I'm not going to say anything. Boy, that was expensive. I wonder how they could afford that. I'm not worried about what you buy. I don't care. I'm happy for you. See how it works? You do a lot better at keeping the law under grace, trust me, than I ever did when I was outside Jesus. Good night. What are you talking about? Therefore, you're all sons of God. To end this up, are you listening? You're no longer under the supervision of the law of works because the faith has come here. I wrote it on the board. You're all sons, and you could add daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Why is that? For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with him. I love these denominational people, but for them to just overlook a text like that and say, what are you trying to say? You have to be baptized? I'm like, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with him. I'm like, what are you trying to say? For all of you who were baptized into Christ didn't clothe yourself with Christ. I mean, it's nuts. Just do it. And watch, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. One faith. It is cool. We're so splintered, all the various groups in America, our culture has collapsed around us. and we're arguing about the thousand-year reign, the rapture, and whether you ought to be baptized or not. I'm thinking, why don't we just all come together just under this? Well, let's argue about whether you want to be baptized or not, but let's all get together quick under one head, Jesus. We're his people on the earth. He's the head of the church. We're members of it. Take all our signs down and let's elect godly men and let's whack and stack our foreign enemies. And I think we'd be better off. What do y'all think? I mean, good night. We all would argue in a different kind of sign, church on every street corner, and you say, our culture literally collapsed around us while we're arguing doctrinal positions, condemning each other. My goodness. If you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed. Remember, I believe you, God. That's counted as righteousness, Abraham, father of faith. And heirs, you say, what do I inherit? Eternity. God's fixed it so that you can be implanted with imperishable seed, because watch, as long as heir is a child, he's no different than a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he's subject to the guardians and trustees until the time set by the Father. He's talking about the law that was done away with. So also, when we were children, we were held in slavery under the basic principles of this world. We're slavery. But when the time had fully come, this event, God sent his son, this event, born of a woman, there's the Virgin Mary, you say, born under law, law works, to redeem those under law, get us out from under it. Finally, grace comes. You say, what a wonderful thing God did. Why? That we might receive the full rights of sons or daughters. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. That's that imperishable seed. You want to get off planet Earth alive? Put your faith in what I wrote on the board. Turn from your sins. Say, Jesus is Lord from this point on. Let him bury you, someone bury you, and raise you up. And you'll receive the Spirit, watch, the Spirit who calls out, Father, Father. So you are no longer a slave, that's under law, but a son. And since you're a son or daughter, God has made you an heir. You inherit what God has. He has it all. And by the way, I'll end with this. I'm just going through in order. I started over there in Matthew 24. I'm now to the book of Ephesians. I just left Galatians 3. What does it say? So you will know. That's why I said take all your signs down. You say, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is Ephesians 4:4. There is one body, body of Christ. There is one Spirit. You receive him when you go down in the water and you come up. You have to be born again of water and the Spirit. You like, I just read it in Galatians 3. They went out in the water. They clothed themselves with Jesus. When they come out of the water, they had received God's Spirit. I just quoted it. There is one body. There's just one Spirit. You say, he gives me, I can inherit what God has. Yeah. Just as you were called, you're called through the gospel. In one hope, when you were called, there is one Lord. His name is Jesus. Not any of the rest of them. There is how many faiths? There is one faith. It's in what I wrote on the board. You miss that, you're going to miss everything. One faith. There is one what? Why would you say there's one baptism if you say, well, you don't even need to do that anyway? Are you nuts? There's just one. It's when you die to sin, crucified, buried, raised. You obey that in water. It's a lot easier on you than it was on him, I can tell you that. That was brutal. Yours is in a warm pool of water through faith in the grace of God. Why would you put one faith and one baptism in the middle of the ones? One way, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all who's over all and in all. Therefore, I love you. You say, what if I say, I don't believe it? I love you anyway. Rock on. Remember this. All you have to do is be perfect without this. Just be perfect and you have no problems. If you're not perfect, come to the perfect one who did this for you, and you'll be counted as perfect. Father, if there's anyone here that might have missed that since they've been on planet Earth, I would think that they would tear the rug up getting down here. I will gladly, Father, me or my assistant, old snake-eating mice, we'll baptize them right back there in a pool of water, just like you said. Lord, you told us, go make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're all about here today, 2,000 years later. We're still there, Father, just like you said, through Jesus. So I pray if there's anyone here, they come down now, and we'll take care of that for them. Through Jesus, I pray, who made all these things possible, the faith we now have, the one faith he brought with him. Thank you, Father, for delivering us from a system of works that we didn't even come close to keeping. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for just telling us that if we trust you and we try, that your grace is more than sufficient to remove any sin we'll ever commit. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for your gift, your spirit, imperishable seed that you implanted us with, guaranteeing our resurrection and our eternal life with you. We are fired up about that, Father. Amen.